You're recording.
Okay. So we are still on section three, our informal interviews. And the next one up is 2330 in regards to Verlin Jones, DVM. All right. So this is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Jones in case number 2330. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it at ARS 322234. Dr. Jones, come forward and introduce yourself. Oh, sorry, you're good. I meant you're already full. So I
You
skipped that step. So if you'll just state your name for the record.
Dr. Verlin Jones.
Great, thank you. Dr. Jones, you've received a letter informing you of all the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to informal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present, please do so at this time. Okay? This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned to this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Let's see, Dr. Byrne, can you please give us a brief summary of the case?
I can. In October 2022, the State Veterinary Board opened a case regarding Dr. Jones. That from some information that came to their attention during the administration of a case that he was involved with previously, the month previous, that case was dismissed. They had made some concerns about the potential of practicing veterinary medicine without a premise license and some medical records violations. So they had made an effort to open a case, in which case I was assigned to be the lead on the in December of that month. At that point, we offered a consent agreement to Dr. Jones for the violations of the lack of practice, premise license, and or the inadequacy of the medical records. He was given the opportunity, declined to sign the consent agreement. That forwards back for us today for an informal.
Okay, great. Thank you. Dr. Jones, at this time, I would like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Jones, we would now like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is necessary.
Well, I think there's three things the board is alleging I violated. I think the first one was says it's about being discourteous to a colleague. Am I correct?
It was discussed.
That was discussed.
It was discussed. That's not in.
It's in. It was in the dissent decree that you guys sent me.
Findings of fact.
Yeah.
It was not in conclusions of law.
Right.
It was the colleague.
Everything that was talked about and gathered.
Who was the colleague? And what was said or done?
It appeared to be a frivolous. Can I?
Yeah, and this is really not part
yes.
of the.
So this is part of your testimony.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chair.
You're
way ahead of myself.
Well, it seemed to be important for the board to put it in the consent decree.
But not as a violation.
But not as a violation. But you're saying not as a violation.
That's correct.
Right.
So we'll move on.
Okay.
You're alleging that my medical records on this horse was deficient? Can you give me the specifics of that? Because I've looked and I think my records come up to the board standards.
The record that I had looked at, that we had received, looked to be more like an invoice. Hold up here. There wasn't a lot of narrative as far as descriptive, kind of diagnosis. Some of the concentrations of the meds, the routes administered.
Well, it's all in my medical records. What I sent you, when we filed a complaint, nobody asked for the medical records, and then later on they asked for the medical records. So what I sent you was pertinent to, the complaint was that the horse got double dose of Lasix because of Dr. Holland's action. And so I sent you what was surrounding that one administration of furosemide.
Okay.
There's a whole nother, you know, I had to go into the computer and print out different sections of the medical record, but I sent you was pertinent to that complaint.
Okay.
I can certainly
send the entirety of the medical record.
Send the entire medical records.
Bill, that would actually help clarify the situation, but there are still omissions here because the Robaxin you have, you don't have a concentration, you have 20 cc's, no route. Phenobutazone 2 grams IV, that route's okay.
Robaxin's always the same concentration, but one of the things also, I don't know if the board members realize that on the racetrack, it's a little bit different than in a lot of veterinary fields. All medications are trainer driven. Racing commission allows horses to race on certain medications. And if a trainer wants his horse to race on that medication, and I don't see a problem causing harm, we administer. There is no diagnosis. If the board's going, you'd have to find every veterinarian on a racetrack in the country, because there just aren't diagnoses.
So it's basically used for prophylactic.
It says right there, I'll send this as well, it says all treatments requested by the trainer. You know, so basically, they make a request, or they ask me for consultation, again, my opinion. Sometimes I've just said no. You know, we're not going to do that.
Right.
You know, but if you're looking for, like, what's the diagnosis as to why the horse was given Lasix, there was no diagnosis of exercise-induced pulmonary hemorrhage. It's more prophylactic. They want it on board at race time. So,
Dr. Jones, can I interrupt real quick?
Yeah.
I think that the dialogue is probably mostly okay, but I think Mr. Harris would probably appreciate if we did sort of like, if you can give your summary initially, and then we can end that part, and then the board can ask you questions, and then at that time, I think would probably be better for more of the dialogue. But if you can kind of summarize again, whatever your, you know, again, what your issues,
okay,
concerns, questions,
yeah,
and then we can.
As far as the colleague thing, I hope the board is not, I'm very surprised he brought it up, because I think it's my duty, if I have a colleague that does something that harms one of my patients, and I think that's a valid complaint. And for that even to be suggested that I wasn't being courteous to a colleague, if that's the reason because of the complaint, I have a hard time with that. I think if you go after a veterinarian who files a legitimate complaint against a colleague, whether you agree with that complaint or not, I don't think that should ever be brought up, but that's discourteous to that colleague. I filed two complaints against colleagues in 30 years. This was the second one, and I still think it was an egregious act. I've run it past other, my daughter's a veterinarian in Idaho who works with the veterinarian on the board in Washington State, and they were just like, when they heard that summary, they dismissed that. Said, yeah, they did. That's neither here nor there for this board, but I'm just telling you, outside of this room, other people think it's an egregious act that happened that day. As far as the medical records, I think once you get the whole picture, I'm happy. If I miss something in the board thinks I deserve a fine or some education on that, I don't have a problem with that. But I looked at my records and I go, you know, the standard of care has to be looked at as well. You know, you can't look at that medical record on a racetrack like it's a medical record at a small animal clinic. It's a standard of care has gotten in that. And the third thing, as far as a premise license, when I first got my license in Arizona, I don't know when, 2014, I'm sure somebody can look it up and tell me. I called the board and I said, okay, it says here, I'm looking at your premise license. You've got three criterias. I don't fit either one of those three criterias. And the response was, is that, no, Dr. Jones, it doesn't sound like you do, so you don't need a premise license. So I've never got a premise license. I have no problem getting a premise license, but what address? I don't live in Arizona. I fly in and I fly out, so. I don't really work for the public, to be honest with you. I don't advertise, don't do social media, it's a private contract. I've been doing this for 30 years. I'll pick up the phone and say, Dr. Jones, can you fly in and take a look at this resource for me? The only reason I was at Turf Paradise as long as I was last winter, and it reminded me why I retired in 2014. I got sucked in because there was a shortage of veterinarians, and so the management asked me if I'd stay and help. Well, that was a bad decision. Should have gone home to Florida. But if you guys want to take a look at those premise requirements and try to fit me in one, give me an address, I'll buy one. Where do you want me to put it at? You're not gonna fit. So that's all I got to say about all this.
Okay, sounds good. Do any of the board members have any questions for Dr. Verlin?
Yes, I just
heard. I'm sorry, Dr. Jones.
Yes, Dr.
Verlin.
Sorry, not the first time.
Yes, I just want to clarify that when it's referenced in the Arizona statutes, I'm sure this is true for other jurisdictions, true, when it says publicly owned, that means not owned by you and not consigned to a shelter or rescue.
Okay.
So even though you're under private contract, it's owned by somebody, the animal is owned by somebody.
Okay.
Just to clarify. Correct, counsel?
Okay.
So I guess for staff, I'll ask a question. I thought when we first talked about the premise license, in 2014, you was employed by the racetrack under contract or something, and there wasn't a premise license required then. But without that contract in place, there's something required?
I don't know.
The state vet or the racing commission or something, wasn't it? Was there some tie to the racing commission?
I apologize. I'm not familiar with his case, so I don't know if Tracy knows the background of anything.
I don't know the questions that were asked in 2014. I wasn't with respect to the premises license. But if he was working for the track, were you working for the
Turf Paradise? Yeah.
So you're working for, and so you were probably licensed by the Department of Gaming. Mm-hmm. So that might have been a different scenario at that time?
Yes, that's what I understand from when we first opened the case. But since that is no longer the case, now you do need a premise license.
And where?
You would Turf Paradise, where your truck is parked.
It's a mobile unit.
Yeah, mobile unit, okay. Yeah.
It's parked at the airport most of the time.
Yeah, that was my understanding. It was in the previous, because I wasn't here in the initial workup. Yeah. Was that you were employed by Turf Paradise at that point? You were probably, when you asked the question, you were probably under the umbrella of their premise,
right,
or your role there. And then when you act beyond that, as an individual practitioner, practicing on individual owned horses, it wasn't made aware to you that at that point, the premise license might be.
Right. And that was still going on. I still argue that board probably should take a look at those premise license descriptions, because I can argue I don't fit any of them, but now you're telling me I should get one for Turf Paradise. But what if I go to a farm? What if I go down to the little park?
No, the premise license would be state. It would be your mobile unit that
mobile,
you're practicing.
Yeah, out of, so you could practice anywhere.
When you were here, would be my understanding that.
And that's if that was stated, I could understand that. But that's not what's stated. But it says something about where you get your supplies to put on your truck. Well, I fly in with my supplies and put them on my truck. So would that be the airport? You know, if you read that.
So you just travel with your supplies, you never order them in to the state?
I order them home in home Florida. Sometimes I'll order to Turf Paradise, sometimes I'll have them send it down to Rio Rito.
So you do have them shipped to Arizona?
Sometimes, yeah. But most of the time I bring them with me. So.
But your home address is in Florida?
So to be a responsible veterinarian, though, you have to have an Arizona address?
Not if you're a mobile unit.
Okay, that's what I was asking.
Yeah. So his physical address would be whatever in Arizona where you're receiving drugs and things and where you keep anything like that.
I have a problem with that. You know, I'll fall back. I was told I didn't need one, and I looked at it, and now we've clarified where you want me to purchase one with.
Yeah, it would seem to me that you could use the address of where you get your mail and where your home base is.
That'd be Florida.
We don't sleep anywhere.
Right.
Hotels.
You don't have to have a building to have a premise license here. Your vehicle and supplies when you're practicing here would be considered your premise.
Okay. So
but your mailing address.
I'll just use Turf Paradise. You know, I've rolled through there enough times. Of course, it's been sold.
Other people do as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of why I either want to, I'm glad you're here to flush out the information so we can piece it together, because you are a more unique type of circumstance. So.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, Mr. Sims called me last winter. I was enjoying my time in Florida and came to do my favor, and then he got my bill and said, I can't afford it. But would you stay and help? Well, and here I am.
I start to say there's less rain here, but that's not necessarily the case today.
No, that's not a wet winter out here.
Do we have any other questions for Dr. Jones?
I guess the only thing that I would, it'll wait for discussion.
Okay. Well, obviously, we don't have a complainant in this case since it was the board. So now I can give you the opportunity again if you want to have any final comments, questions, a wrap up. You're more than welcome to do so.
Right. Well, I've been a veterinarian for 30 years. I hold licenses in 7 different states, and I've never been called before a board in 30 years. I feel like, to be honest with you, somehow this was retaliation for filing the complaint. I think it was a valid complaint. I was disappointed in the board's decision, but that's your decision. I respect that. You know, but then to turn it and come after me over the same animal, I don't think that's going to fly here with the administrative judge.
Thank you. Do board members have any final questions before we begin?
I have one more.
Okay.
Dr. Jones. In the other states where you're licensed to practice, do you have a premise license? Do you have a mobile license? You have no additional license?
No, this is the only state that comes up a premise license. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. So this concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. You can just stay seated right there if you'd like. Dr. Byrne, you want to give the case lead if you want to?
Yeah, I can lead. Well, the previous case and I purposely, when I crafted the consent agreement in December, purposely try to make it only about the facts and the information with the records and the premise license, because I don't think that entered into it at all. I know for a fact that it didn't for me. So I the main thing I had was the incompleteness of the records, which if you can provide records that are more complete, that would be beneficial. Even if it's just a concentration route, time, you know, the premise license, I think the premise license is applicable. I think it's applicable to multiple equine veterinarians that come from out of state and have premise license. Whether you knew or didn't know about it is I don't know. But I mean, I feel that you're aware of it now. My only concerns were the accuracy of the completeness of the information that was in the record and whether you did or did not need to have premise, which I was under the assumption that you did. That's basically my take of the case.
So are we able in this case then to, one of the issues was the records that I don't know if we're dismissing or issuing a letter, but that it is what contingent upon seeing that the record is received with?
Well, what was submitted from the attorney was the medical record, and it's not a medical record, it's a
invoice. Well, you stated that you had additional.
Oh yeah, I mean, weight, you know, registration number, color, age.
Right, but what we have that was submitted as medical records isn't. So okay. That's what we have. I mean, yeah. I don't know how you postpone and wait
right.
for the rest of the information that yeah. we asked for. That
I would argue that was submitted as the medical
yeah,
record.
That's not voice.
Right. It's not
you have
a medical
some
record.
Information about here, but you don't have the routes of administration and concentrations. Because that's what the owner gets.
That's so,
in that case, Dr. Byrne, do you have a...
So again, let me throw in my comment for you. I mean, part of this is, it's not our responsibility to let you know what the statutes are. You're licensed here, you're supposed to know the statute, right? And I see, okay, on the premise deal, if it's worded confusing, then yes, you got to call somebody and ask. I understand that.
And I did.
And you did once. But your role changed, your circumstances changed. I mean, that's like a change of address or a change of premise or a change of, it was a change, right? You went from racing commissioner, employer to an individual on the racetrack.
No, I went from, when I first showed up here, I was in private practice, and that's why I made the call. And they said I didn't need one because I didn't fit. And then later years, I went to work for, racing commission.
But then it's possible you get the wrong one. I don't know. I wasn't here.
No.
So,
well, no. Well, now we know. Now I know.
Well, so. Actually, it was, but it's brand new. Well, no. Anyway, so, I mean, it is what it is, right? When we find it, we correct it. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. Same thing for the medical records.
Yeah.
When I know it says pretty explicitly in the letters that you when they send you something, hey, we're investigating this, please send this, that you gotta know the difference between the medical record and invoice and send us what we ask for.
All I got was a call from my attorney that they want the medical records on that complaint. And so I took that as they want to see what was surrounding the timestamp and the Lasix administration.
So almost everybody, it's the animal, so whatever you have on that animal, for any time you've ever treated it for anything, that's what you get. And does that frequently get overlooked? Yes, we gotta go back and ask for, wait, you forgot the x-rays, or you forgot, you know, your handwritten notes are there, but what came off the computer is not there. I mean, there's always, and nobody gets upset about it, right? So, I mean, we just fix it, go on. But I think another thing, and certainly there was some discussion about that maybe your complaint was retaliation. And then you're kind of flipping around that, okay, that we thought yours was retaliation, so now we're going to retaliate, and that's...
Well, I don't think
we kind of had those discussions,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So we talked about, could this be this, could this be that, could this be this, but that was all, so it's in the findings of fact because they get talked about, right? Mm-hmm. But also, and you'll find, I mean, if you, I know he sat through some cases, but the ones he sat through, I don't think he came up to, on discussions today. But there's a lot of stuff we see that it's dismissed, but when they sent us the medical records, oh, they forgot to get the signature on the estimate. They forgot to give an estimate. They forgot, I mean, there's something, they, the concentration's not there. The surgical, the respiration and heart rate aren't on the surgical sheet every 15 minutes.
But I guess the point
it gets dismissed, but they still get that violation, but it has nothing to do with the complaint, right?
Right.
That's what your medical record did. Had nothing to do with any kind of complaint, nothing to do with anything, except we saw this and said, huh, well, that's not right. That's it. No violating the constitutions, free speech, no retaliation. It just, we saw it, so we acted. Same thing with the premise license. Nobody went out to hunt you down to see if you had a premise license.
Did anybody ask for something Dr. Holland's came up. Medical records on that horse?
What's that?
Did anybody ask Dr. Holland for her medical records on that horse?
I don't remember that. I don't remember that. That was months ago, so I don't remember. Was it October? Yeah. We get 25 of these. I take care of this month. And next week I'll forget about whatever about this month that I don't need to remember for next month. I guarantee I'll forget it.
Well,
because we've got to move on.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I'm not, you know, I don't have any problems with a letter of concern, but part of that letter of concern is that part of your license is you knowing the statutes and you complying with the statutes, and if you don't know, ask a question. That's it.
And I did. And I got the
only once.
How many times?
But circumstances change.
Confirming email and writing.
Yeah, well, and circumstances change. So,
yes.
But also don't, when we happen to come across something and happen to mention it, it's not something to get upset about.
No, I'm not upset at all. We clarified the premise license thing, so state's going to get $400.
And, well,
they're happy.
Mr. Willie, Madam Chair, members of the board, just since we're talking about this, yes. So that we all hear the same thing.
Yes.
So when someone calls and asks such a question, 99% of the time I will say, I cannot give you legal advice. I can't interpret the statutes and rules. It's going to be your up to you to decide how to do this. I probably will not know what to ask you. You won't know what to tell me, and that's why I can't give you a black and white answer on what you should do.
Right.
However, I'm going to try to help you as much as I can. And so I can guarantee you I was here in 2014. I would have said the same thing.
Right.
So ultimately it is. So we will never know, and that's why we're really careful when we try to answer those questions. Because exactly what's being said today is because he's saying he was told something different, and maybe we didn't understand it, maybe we didn't know what to tell us, we didn't know what to ask him. So that's why it does no good to go back in time to have this discussion, because we really don't know what happened.
And that's why we can't say what we're gonna do, because every case is different, right? You gotta take each one on its own merits and apply the statutes to that particular set of circumstances, not what happened in the past or what you think might happen. You know, I mean, that's just it.
Okay, so we do have a motion.
I'll let Dr. Byrne make a motion if you want to, but I would do a letter of concern and just.
Yeah, I'll make a motion. So I think it's more of an administrative thing than anything else. I don't think there's really anything medical. I think there are sufficiencies in the medical records that you're now aware of. I don't think the deficiencies had any bearing on any outcome that on any animal. So I will make a motion for a letter of concern about the completeness of the medical records and request that you look into acquiring premise license.
But we need to rescind.
No. Rescind the consent agreement.
It was declined.
It was declined. So nothing happened.
Right. We just
so
there
here.
So,
yeah. Okay.
Informal. Okay. Where we would have been.
Okay.
1 month later, anyway.
Okay.
So that would be my motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to offer a letter of concern. Is there any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, one nay from me. Okay, motion passes. The board has voted to offer you a letter of concern, and that concludes this matter. So thank you for being here.
Thank the board. Glad we can clear the air about that license.
Do you have any questions you can ask Victoria?
Now they're going to turn around for paradise.
Yeah.